In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. What is the first book in the Bible?
Genesis.
Very good. What does Genesis mean? The beginning. That's good. Because Genesis has the beginning of the world, the first 6 days and 7 days in the world, the first creature in the world, the first wedding in the world, the first house in the world, the first family in the world, and also the first law in the world. Yes, Genesis is going to tell us the first law. Do you know who told the first law? Who told the first law? Eve? Eve. Hi. Satan actually told the first lie. Satan told the first lie. Why Satan told the first lie? Let me explain to you why Satan told the first lie. Adam and Eve were created in a state of innocence, which means the thought of sin didn't cross their mind. They were innocent. And when God gives them commandment not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it didn't cross their mind at all to break the commandment and to eat from the tree, because they were in a state of innocence. But devil, you know, Satan was an archangel, and he fell from his rank because he was proud. And from that time, he started a rebellion against God. And that's why he wanted to introduce the concept of sin to Adam and Eve. And he started to think how he can introduce the concept of sin to Adam and Eve, who were innocent. So, to introduce to them the concept of sin, he lied. He lied. So why Satan lied? In order to introduce the concept of sin to Adam and Eve, who were innocent. And until today, Satan lied in order to introduce us to sin, or to introduce sin to us. Fortunately, Satan is not creative. He's using the same technique over and over. And the same lies over and over. And as we'll explain today, we'll find that Satan made three lies. He lied about the Word of God. He lied about God Himself. And he lied about He lied about the Word of God. He lied about the He lied about the God Himself, about God Himself, and he lied about the sin. And until today, Satan used the same three lies to introduce us to the concept of sin. And I want to discuss with you today these three lies. And then we'll discuss together how can we withstand the lies of the devil. Let's read some verses from the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor you shall touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So, the first lie he made, he lied about the word of God. How he lied about the word of God. If you look at chapter 2, verse 16, you're like, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall surely die. There's a commandment. But when the devil quoted this commandment, he changed it. He distorted it. And he said to the woman in chapter 3, verse 1, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? God didn't say so. What God said, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. So only one tree God forbid Adam and Eve from to eat from. But Satan, what did he say? You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So when he lied about the word of God, what did he do? He distorted the word of God. Distorted the word of God. He wasn't faithful. He wasn't honest in quoting the commandment of God. And of course, we don't expect Satan to be faithful or honest. Because as the Lord Jesus Christ said about Satan, he is a liar and father of every lie. He is a liar and father of every lie. So he distorted the word of God. And until today, Satan is distorting the word of God. You know how? Sometimes he gives us just some words from a verse. And he wants us to make a doctrine out of these words. The distortion of the word of God. For example, he takes the verse that says, Believe in God and you will be saved. And tell you, see, faith is only required for your salvation, nothing more. Words are not required for your salvation. That's distortion of the word of God. Because if you read in the letter of St. James, St. James said, faith without work is dead. So, if I take one verse from the Bible and start to make a doctrine out of this one verse, this is very dangerous. And unfortunately, many churches and many denominations fell in this trap. They're using one verse or two verses and making their doctrine based on this one or two or three verses. And this is distortion to the word of God. If you need to discuss any verse from the Bible, you need, or any subject in the Bible, you need to collect all the verses in the Bible about this subject. For example, I think I'll give another example. David doesn't want us to forgive one another. So usually, quotes for us this verse. You're like, at the trial, when the servant of the chief priest slapped the Lord on his face, the Lord said, why did you slap me? And Satan uses this verse a lot to teach us not to forgive others. And he forgets intentionally the verse that says, if anybody slapped you on your face, turn the other cheek. And the Lord Jesus Christ, after the trial, the soldiers were slapping him. As we say in the Gregorian liturgy, and your cheek, you left them to slap. So what happened during the trial? The trial, in the trial, the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to prove that he is innocent, without blemish. In order for his sacrifice to be accepted, he should be without blemish. You know, in the Old Testament, when they bring a lamb to be a sacrifice, the priest examines the lamb. If the priest found the lamb without blemish, then this lamb can be offered as a sacrifice. If the lamb found with blemish, they cannot offer. In the same way, if the Lord was found with any blemish, then his sacrifice on the cross will not be accepted. So the Lord here was not defending himself or doing something against his teaching, but the Lord was defending that the lamb of the sacrifice is without blemish. And after the trial is over, when they start to slap him, the Lord turns on their cheek. He didn't defend himself. So I can give you many, many examples, but Satan most of the time distorts the word of God. Distorts the word of God. Another thing he does about the word of God, he casts doubt on the word of God. He said to Eve, has God indeed said? Has God indeed said? So he's casting doubt on the word of God. And many people, unfortunately, nowadays, and even in theological seminaries and in many universities, teaching biblical criticism, which is to question the Bible, to question the word of God, is it true or not? And many people, Christians, believe that, for example, the story of creation, the story of flood, is just metaphor, myth. These are not real stories. And that's not true. That's not true. But this is how the Bible until today is casting doubt on the word of God. You know, when you read in Book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, when Ezra read the whole scripture, he built a podium to put the whole scripture on it. And this podium was above everybody. Wow. So when we read the Bible, and the Bible is above everybody, this means we are under the authority of the Bible. We are not here to examine the Word of God, to see whether the Word of God is reliable or not. But we are under the authority of the Word of God. And that's why from Nehemiah chapter 8, we took this tradition that we have a special place for the Bible called Mangalaya. And Mangalaya is a Coptic word. Ma means place. And Galaya and Gil is the Bible. So we have this Mangalaya that should be above the level of everybody. So when we read the Bible will be above its authority, above everybody. Which means we are under the authority of the Bible. But what about Abuna that reads the Bible? He cannot read the Bible while holding the Bible above his head. Of course, he cannot do this. But you know what he does?
usually he holds the Bible above his head and says, this Maru'ut in Jesus' name. Why Abuna, before reading the Bible, holds the Bible above his head? Again, even the priest, the pope, the bishop, under the authority of the Bible. Everybody is under the authority of the Bible. But we cannot say, let's examine the Bible and see whether the Word of God is reliable or not. But David, from the time of Eve until today, he is casting doubt on the Word of God. So, David, how we write about the Word of God? Number one, we have a distort the Word of God. Number two, cast doubt on the Word of God. And number three, he denies the Word of God. He denies the Word of God. Listen carefully. In chapter 2, verse 17, God says, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. It's very clear. If you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. What the David said in chapter 3, verse 3, David says, you shall not, verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. You will not surely die. See, God says, you shall surely die, and the devil says, you will not surely die. He's denying the word of God. He's denying the word of God. And until today, the devil is using the same technique. He tells us, no, you can do this and you will not die. You will not die. For example, God says, honor your father and mother so you will be blessed and you will have a long day. Satan teach, no. Maybe you cannot, it's okay not to honor them and to do what you want and nothing will hurt you. So Satan teaches against the word of God. God teaches us to pray without ceasing. Satan teaches you don't have to pray and you will be okay. You will not surely die. God teaches, if you eat my body and drink my blood, you will have eternal life abiding in you. For my body is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And Satan teaches, no, you don't have to eat his body or drink his blood, because it's not real body or real blood. And so on. So, Satan lies about the Bible. And in lying about the Bible, he used three techniques. Number one, he distorts the word of God. Number two, he denies the word of God. Number three, he casts doubt on the word of God. But let us see what God teaches us about the Bible. And I want you to remember this verse. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. What's written about the word of God? يقول لك ايه؟ The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Can we say this verse together? The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. حظا أنك محق الآخر. 10. The grass, the flower, but the word of our God. Okay. The grass, the flower, but the word of our God. So, the first line.
The Arabic,
please. The Arabic. 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 The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God not. Ashaya 40, 8. So, the devil teaches that the Bible, the Word of God, is not reliable. And he needs to question. That's the teaching of the devil. That's the first law. By casting doubt on it, by distorting it, by denying it. But God tells us that the grass, whether the flower, but the Word of our God stands. Okay. The second lie, how is the first lie about? About the first lie about the Word of God, and all he meant to be lie. The first lie was about the Word of God. Second lie was about God Himself. The third lie about? About sin. About sin. Remember? It's 3 points, don't it? Sub points in the first point. Ten. Satan made three lies. The first lie is about the Word of God. Second lie is about the third lie is about sin. In the first lie about the Bible, there are three sub points. First sub point, what did he do? He cast it down. Number two, he denied the Word of God. Number three, distorted. Then, some happened. Then, he made three lies. The first lie, about the Word of God. Second lie, God himself. Third lie, okay. In the first lie, he used three techniques. The first one, distorted the Word of God. Second one, and third one, okay. Now we'll go to the second lie, which is about God himself. Okay. He lied about God. Hell. In Genesis chapter 3, the woman said to the serpent, verse 2, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. This serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. So as if he is saying to the woman, to Eve, God is lying to you. God who said, you will surely die, Satan says, no, you will not surely die. God is lying. Can you imagine the devil is saying about God is a liar? And then he's trying to find a justification why God lied to Adam and Eve. And here's the justification. He said, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So this is justification. God knows that if you eat of this tree, your eyes will be open, and you will be similar to God. You will be like Him. You will know good and evil. And that's why God lied to you and forbid you from eating of this tree and told you, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. So, what is the message here? What the devil is trying to say to Adam and Eve about God? Other than God is lying, and his justification why God lies, because he is afraid that if you eat of this tree, you will be like him. But what the devil want to convey to Adam and Eve?
He wants them to be like God.
Hmm?
He wants them to be like God.
Because if this is true, if the eight of this tree and they will become like God, and God told them don't eat of it, even God doesn't love them, God doesn't want their best interest, God wants to keep them down, God doesn't want them to be like Him. And this is a big lie. Because God came to our earth in order to make us His children, to be like Him. As we say in the Theotokia of Friday, He took what is ours and gave us what is His. أَخْذَ الَّذِي لَنَا وَأَعْطَانَا الَّذِي لَهُ. But usually Satan says to us, God doesn't want your best interest. God doesn't want your best interest. And until today, Satan is lying about God and saying the same word. Let me tell you something. I was speaking to one of our youth. Why he doesn't come to the church and why he doesn't, you know, take communion and confess. And you know what he told me? Told me because I want to enjoy my life. So the message here from the devil, if you live with God, you will not enjoy your life. Because God doesn't want your best interest. God wants you just to cry and to embarrass yourself in confession and to fast and to prohibit yourself from going, you know, to these places. So God doesn't want you to have fun in your life. God doesn't want you to enjoy your life. God doesn't love you. But listen to me. Satan says, if you follow me, I will teach you how to enjoy your life. You will have fun and you will enjoy your life. You will go to these parties and you will have many friends and you will do this and that. That's what the devil teaches. And let me tell you something here. You know the tree that Adam and Eve ate of? How it looks from outside? Yeah, very attractive. Pleasant to their eyes. Right? That's how the tree looks from outside. But from inside, what does this tree carry? Yes. You will surely die if you eat of it. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ, or Christianity, from outside, looks how, let me tell you, from outside, how it looks like. If you open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2, you will, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has, this about the Lord Jesus Christ, he has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Yes, Christianity and the Lord Jesus Christ from outside, there is no form or comeliness, and there is no beauty that we should desire him. The Lord was born in a manger to a carpenter in a very poor family and was despised by all. And at the end, he died on the cross, and it is written in the law, cursed is he who died on the cross. So there is no beauty or desire or attraction in the Lord from outside. But from inside, there is what?
Life.
There is life. And this is the difference I want you to be aware of. The world from outside will introduce to us trees and fruits pleasant and attractive to our eyes, full of fun, full of joy. But from outside, from inside, there is death. Christianity, from outside, there is no beauty in it. There is no form or comfort that we desire. Why any person desires to be a Christian? And the first thing we tell him, you need to carry your cross and you need to suffer. It is given to you not to believe in him, but to suffer for him. From outside, there is no beauty in Christianity to desire. But from inside, there is life. So if Satan lied to you about God, and told you God doesn't want your best interest, because he uses Christianity from outside that has no beauty or form or colors, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. You know why? Let us read together what the plan of God toward us. And that is the second verse I want you to memorize. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Armeia 29, verse 11. صفحة 771. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Then God is speaking. And God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That is the thoughts of God towards us. Thoughts of peace and not evil. Thoughts to give us a future and a hope. So God does want our best interest. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So what are the thoughts of God toward us? Thoughts of peace and not to give us future and hope. But what are the thoughts of the Lord toward us? Peace and not evil, to give us future and hope. God wants you to have a future. God wants your best interest. Don't be deceived. If Satan tells you God doesn't want your best interest, don't follow him and follow me and I'll show you how to enjoy your life. Don't be deceived. He is a liar. He lies about God all the time. And he won't tell us God doesn't love you, God doesn't want your best interest. But we should say, the Lord says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, again, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace are not evil, to give you future and a hope. Again. If I have now, what are the three lines? First line is about the word of God. And in this line, he used three techniques. The first one, he denied the word of God. Second one, he told the word of God. Third one, casting doubt. And how we respond to the first line? The grass withered, the flower is by the word of our God. Stand forever. And second line about, and what does it say about God? God does not your best interest. And what's our response to him? For I know the thought that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you future and a hope. This is the thought of God towards Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And the third lie is about what? About sin. God said to Adam and Eve, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Satan said, no, you will not surely die. So actually, he's saying what about sin? Sin won't hurt you. sin will not hurt you. You can sin, you can eat of this tree, and you will not be hurt. And until today, Satan using the same law. Until God, sin will not hurt you. And sometimes he doesn't say this, but he say more than this. He say, sin will protect you. For example, he can convince me to lie in order to protect myself. And he tells me, if you say the truth, you'll be in a trouble. Just lie, and you will be safe. You look like lying. Excuse me. I will like, مثلا, in Inta, if you are humble and a forgiving person, people will take advantage of you. You need to be strong and to revenge back and to repay back in order for everybody to respect you and to honor you. So many times, Satan does not only say that sin will not harm you, but he often says you will benefit from sin. I hear many youth saying, it is good to experience everything. It's good to experience drugs, it's good to experience alcohol, it's good to experience partying, it's good to experience everything. And then I decide what I want to do. As if Satan convinces them the benefit of sin. And of course, this is a big lie. Let us see what the Bible teaches about sin. And this is the third verse that I want you to remember. Numbers 32, verse 23. The book of Numbers, 32, verse 23. You will hear. But if you do not do so, then take note. Do not do so, and if you didn't keep the commandment of God, this is so referring to. Then take note. You have sinned against the Lord. And I have to our hands. You have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. You have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. That's what the Bible teaches about sin. Sin will find me out someday. As we were talking yesterday, Samson didn't get away with his sin. His sin found him, even at the end of his life, but found him. But one day, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. You can read the rebuke of Nathan, the prophet, to David when he said, he told him, because you cursed with the sword will not depart your house. Because you made the enemies of the Lord blaspheme against him, the son that's born to you will die. And because you lied with Uriah's wife, this will be done to your wife in the eye of the sun. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Don't believe Satan if he told you that sin will not hurt you. Don't believe Satan if he told you that there are benefits of sin. There is no benefit of sin. Sin leads to death. The wage of sin is death. So sin leads to this. These are the three lies that Satan usually uses. He lies about the word of God, he lies about God himself, and he lies about sin. He denies the word of God, he distorts the word of God, he casts doubt on the word of God. But we know that in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. He says God doesn't want your best interest.
But we know from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And Satan says, sin will not hurt you. There are benefits of sin. But we know from Numbers chapter 52, verse 23, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. So, how can we withstand the temptation of the devil or the lies of the devil? Know that he is a liar and father of every liar. And you need to know the truth about God, about sin, about the word of God. What's the truth about God? Satan says what about God? He's a liar. And what else he says about God? He doesn't love us. He doesn't want our best interest. And what's the truth about God? God loves us. Wait, this for us. What's the truth about God?
He
wants a
future and a hope.
For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of and not to give you and okay. And what Satan says about the Bible? The Bible is not reliable. He casts doubt on the Bible, the word of God. He destroys the word of God. And he denies the word of God. And what is the truth about the word of God? Bread, flour, but the word of our stands forever. And what Satan says about sin? Good, will not hurt you. There are benefits from sin. But what is the truth about sin? You have sinned against it. And be sure your sin will find you.